for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, December the 26th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bruce Miller is the speaker of the morning.
Over here, the sister back there in the back row in the black and the red, it seemed like the Lord was showing me that He had a miracle coming for you. Have you been believing God for a miracle? Would you come up here and let me lay hands on you to confirm that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stretch our hands towards her. Glory to God. I don't know what it's all about, but God does. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the working of miracles, let her receive this miracle in Jesus' name. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, thank you. Yes, Lord, let her receive it. Glory, let her receive it. Thank you. Glory, 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 glory. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. It's all over you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like to speak on a subject this morning that I've been working on for a long time, and it seemed like the Lord just keep giving tidbits. And it's entitled Exodus Number 2, and you probably say, well, what's that all about? Well, you've already heard of number 1. I'm sure all of you have read about the children of Israel, and they were in the land of Egypt, and they were making bricks. They were making bricks, and that's a, I don't know if anybody's ever made bricks. I haven't made them, but I've had to clean some, and that was bad enough. Hallelujah. I remember in Amarillo, I was on a vacation once. I took off from California, and figuring on being gone a month, I was gone 3 months, and I found myself down there cleaning bricks for 6 cents apiece. Man, that's work. That's work. I didn't hear anybody have to do that, but, you know, God is good. My question would be this morning, are you really happy? Are you happy right where you're at? Or are you in bondage to fear or worry? I got Bob Buse to autograph a copy of one of his books this morning that I picked up back in the 80s. It's entitled Favor, God's Road to Success. And it changed my life entirely. And they're back on the book table, give it, as well as Deliverance from Fear. I mean, I had somebody accuse me a few months back of being a charmer. No, it ain't a charmer. I just ask for God's favor every day. I ask for God's favor. And it works. Hallelujah. We don't have to use the worldly way of doing things, the worldly system. Hallelujah. We need a reality check, though. As a matter of fact, a revival of reality.
Yes.
There's some of us that have our heads in the clouds.
Right. Come on, brother.
We're just not any earthly good at all. We're just up there. You know. Dum, 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 dum. And remember this tape I heard, and this brother, he was saying that God spoke to him, and he's going to fly off out of here. And God spoke to him one day and said, you and I are going in two opposite directions. He says, I'm trying to establish my kingdom on the earth, and you're trying to get out of here. Hello? And the reality of that is that God is trying to establish his kingdom on the earth. And guess who he's going to use? He's like Marines. He's just looking for a few good folks. Hallelujah. Just a few of us to take dominion. But some of us have taken dominion, started taking dominion, and then we kind of lost a little ground somewhere along. Hello? And we need to take that ground back. Some of us have had our desire for God just squelched. Our dreams we've seen go up in smokes, our ambitions and our things that we want to do for God just disappear, dissipate from us. But we can get them back. Some of us have given up altogether on fulfilling our destiny for God. We have a destiny to fulfill. We have a destiny. We're not just nobodies that just happened to get saved. We were searched out by Jesus and brought unto Himself for the purpose of taking dominion of this earth and establishing the kingdom of God here, now. Hallelujah. But sometimes it's just too painful and just too frustrating and we just give up. Hello, somebody. You missed a good place to say amen. You know, the reason why, though, is we've simply lost touch with a gift that God has deposited within us. And we need to get a hold back on that gift and realize that that's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Christ that is creative, that created this world in the first place and has walked through this earth. And He wants to walk again through us. I don't know if any of you missed that meeting last night. You need to get the tape. You need to get the tape. I'm telling you, God really ministered. But the problem is, once you begin to lose in that flicker, that hope that God puts in you, that desire, then you succumb to religion. And it'll kill you every time. Religiosity will put you in the grave, the spiritual grave. I know this brother back home in Missouri there, and he had this vision. Some of his visions were kind of popcorn visions, with some of them probably too much sugar and coffee. But this one, I believe, was God, and he had visions of people in jail cells, Christians in jails, you know. And it was kind of the portable jail system they use now. They just stack one up on top of another. And then people were all inside, and they weren't trying to get out at all, and they were just kind of in a daze, just looking up, just in a daze. And they did not even realize that they were encaptured or they were in bondage. You know, that's the way a lot of the church is now. They say, oh, well, I've got my pie in the sky, and I'm going to get out of here, and don't even realize that they're not doing what God wants them to do, but they're in bondage to another religious system. They're in bondage to another mental system, another way of thinking, another way of physical system. You know, I believe that the Old Testament was shadows and types. By the way, religion, if you really want a taskmaster, that's a good one for you. It will drive you and drive you and drive you, and you'll never, never be satisfied. It won't be satisfied. But you know, God is a leader. And He leads by His Spirit. In Luke 12:5 it says, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him that which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I ran across some folks this last summer. They didn't believe in hell. Okay, well, I won't fall out over that as well. You don't believe in tithes either. Well, I won't fall out over that. I love you, but you're delusional. You got a problem here. Hello? But you know, that's what it's a sedating. A religious spirit will sedate you, get you halfway awake and halfway asleep, a little groggy-minded, and then it'll stick another dosage of arsenic in your system, in your spiritual system. Somebody told me the other day, says that the mineral waters that I was drinking had lead in them and arsenic. Well, a little bit of arsenic never hurt anybody, I said. And I began to look at the label, though, and it didn't have any lead or arsenic in it. It was just a sales ploy that somebody had given to her in order for her not to buy that, but to buy theirs. You know? And the devil's a salesman. To disbelieve in what God wants for you is to displease Him. Hello? Really is. I mean, I'm not meaning, and hope don't take it that way, that I'm coming down on anybody. Just remember the vision of people being in bondage and not even knowing it. Not thinking anything's wrong with it at all. Because life is more than the things that we possess. And I find it very interesting, you know, that in the corporate world, when they big corporations appoint a new chief executive officer, thank you,
when they appoint a new chief executive also, there's a bunch of them stacked up here, that they give him less and less time to perform. In other words, he's got to get there, make that company money, and build it up quick, or he's out the door. He's out the door. You know, that is another Pharaoh. That is another taskmaster. And if you will, that taskmaster kind of crept into the church. Hello? And maybe I'm the only one that has ever had a pushy pastor that always is trying to strive and strive and strive, and it's not really for spiritual good. As a matter of fact, there really is less and less time to seek God, but there's always time to work. There's always time to do this. There's always time to do that. There's always a lesson to teach here, a lesson to preach there, or something like that, or a ditch that needs to be dug, but there's less and less time for the real consecration of fasting and praying and seeking God. I think we ought to turn away from some of that. Avoid it like a plague even. In Exodus, the second chapter, one time I went fishing on Sunday morning before I get there. I had a friend that was a Seventh-day Adventist, precious black sister, but she just, you know, went to church on Saturday. Well, I went to church on Sunday, but I thought, well, I could skip one Sunday to just kind of minister to her. But the truth of the matter is it was a setup of the Holy Ghost for God to minister to me. I was out there and you know, just in a turmoil from the cares of this life, just like some of you are, have all these cares pulling at you, you know. And it comes through people sometimes, or it comes through bill collectors or one thing or another, but these cares just pulling at you. And I kind of got like this. And so there I was out there fishing, and I hooked into a bass, and he come up close to the water, and he was a good 2 foot long, and I'm not exaggerating. I don't have the spirit of evangelistic speaking, all right? Hallelujah. But that bass, he was right up, and he flipped, and he was gone. And I broke out in tongues for 30 minutes. But see, I missed a couple of things because my mind was so set on, oh, I've got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, got to do that, that when I got out of that car door, the Holy Ghost said Psalms 23, and I didn't catch it. I just kept on walking. And that part about, He leadeth me beside the still waters, and He restoreth my soul, happened to me that Sunday morning. Hallelujah. He had to pull me apart of the religious system, hello? Pull me apart of the religious world, pull me apart of the economic world and the political world, and set me off to the side and restore my soul the way He done it in the first place. And I'm here to tell you there's some here that need the same dose of the Holy Ghost. They need the Holy Ghost to just to clean house. Hallelujah. Just to get all those quirks and things to get them out. Get them out. And we sat there half-masked in church thinking, ain't nothing wrong with me. It's the one next to me. Hallelujah. It's the other guy that's got the problem. It's not me. And all the time, the Holy Ghost is trying to get our attention so that He can free us. Hallelujah. Exodus 2:24 and 25, and God heard their groaning. The children of Israel groaned. Hallelujah. Some of you might know I was ordained in 82 or 83 in the Church of God in Christ, the Black Pentecostal Church. And I learned so much. Hello? I learned so much about the history of this nation. And I learned about the slavery and the oppression that was put upon the black people, hello, by some of our ancestors. And I learned of how that after those people had been beaten and bloody and whipped, they just groaned before the Lord at night. They couldn't lift their hands and praise and worship God. They just groaned. And it was unto God a prayer. It was unto God a sign that they were prisoners and they needed to be set free. Hallelujah. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect for them. God has respect for you if you are a child of God. He respects you. Hallelujah. Ain't that something? He respects you. Maybe your parents didn't respect you. Maybe your boss at work don't respect you. But God respects you and accepts you in the Beloved if you're born again of His Spirit. Hello? And that's a good place to be. Psalms 12 and 5 says, "For the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy, I will arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." High-mindedness or pride is that puffing. High-mindedness is a temptation to self-deception that plagues many people in positions of power and in influence. In the natural, they suppress or oppress the poor. In the spiritual, there are those that consider that because they're doing such a great work for God and because His power is being made manifest through them, that they're not accountable for the things like integrity, honesty, and kindness, especially in the small and the unseen things of life. They have respected persons, and they separate clergy from laity. Just draw a line. What they're doing, they're saying, "I'm above you." God didn't say it. They said it. And that's by a spirit of religiosity. Saul, for instance, had lost both his fear of the Lord and therefore his awareness that God was both working and weighing his actions. Thought he could get away with it, in other words. Today's leaders who have gone into this methodology or ministry style because of no anointing. God's left. It's still a form. Still going through the form. A lot of psychology being used. This spiritual superstition, I call it, has tried to make a down pat way for God to work. To come up with a formula. If we do this, God will do that. Hallelujah. God doesn't need human methods. God's people usually end up controlled or manipulated by the power of suggestion. As we saw, God will eventually withhold His power completely just to see if a ministry will humble itself and repent and trust in Him instead of just going through the motions with no anointing. People need to stay within their gifting. For instance, the gift of prophecy does not necessarily mean that person is gifted to teach. Hello? Those that have been called as an evangelist does not necessarily mean they're supposed to pastor a church. Hello, somebody? It might be rough. It might be cold. You might have to eat some pinto beans out there. But stay with what God gave you to do. Glory. And if you have to pull off the side and make a tent, go ahead and do it. God will bless you for it. Hallelujah. I got a kick out of Win Worley one time. And that's up in Chicago there in Highland. Says, "Well, Brother Bruce, you travel different than I do. I get my money before I take off." I said, "Win, it don't take no faith to do that. It don't take any faith to do that at all." Hello? I hit on a sore place. I know sometimes around deliverance service seems like they got deliverance preachers got no faith at all. Hello? Wrapped up in unbelief. Hello? You got to exercise those faith muscles just like everybody else does. Hello? Get $7.95 for my tape. I'll never have to work again, see? I cut a deal with God a long time ago. You say you don't cut deals? I said, yeah, you don't. But he did with me. We cut this deal. I said, I had people tell me, "Did you get $5 a piece for your tapes?" I said, "I don't think so." "Well, you pray about that." I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." I prayed, and the Lord said this to me. This doesn't apply to everybody, but it applies to me. He said, "Have I ever charged you for any revelation?" I said, "No." "See that you don't charge for any tapes, then." "I'll provide." "All right, we got a deal. You don't have to worry about that no more. It's not a concern of mine at all. God's going to take care of it." Amen. Hello? When I wake up in the morning, God's going to feed me. Right. Hello? I know that's not happy preaching. There's nobody getting happy over this. But the truth of the matter is, we've got to live like the Bible says. Right. The problem is that we've lived the other way for so long. It's ingrained in our psychic. It's ingrained in our thinking. And we get up in the morning and we just, we've got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. And got, you know. But it's bondage. Well, I'm sorry to inform you, but it's a bondage. It creates a lack of humility and a lack of hunger for God. And it also leaves an emptiness in the spirit. Somebody say amen. And often reveals an offended heart. Then religious pride sets up with self-satisfied pride. John 5:42 and 44, 39 to 42 and 44 says, "Seek not honor from men, but honor that comes from God. You better be watching somebody patting you on the back all the time. Hello? I started with this other church a couple years ago setting up food pantry for them. And I said, I don't want no yes people around me. They scare me. And people agree with me all the time. They scare me. I know they're just lying there waiting to do something. Hello? Yeah, I don't like yes people. They're phony. Hello? If you ain't got enough spirit to say no once in a while. Hold it! Put the brakes on! Missouri Mule! Let's check this out. Too much of this stuff being swallowed, hook, line, and sinker now. Oh, the same way with me preaching. You better eat the meat and spit out the bone. Glory! Hallelujah. Exodus, the 5th chapter, and I won't go through it, but it's the story of Moses and Aaron, their encounters with Pharaoh, and later God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Can you imagine that? He told them Israelites, he said, all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go get your own straw to make these bricks with. My men are busy. He says, now number two is you're going to keep up the same quota. You know, we got a song that some Mitchell or Mitchum, they sang it. And they sing it in my church over there in Missouri. And it says, I ain't making no more bricks for Pharaoh. I like that song. I sing, I ain't making no more bricks for Pharaoh. I'm checked out of this world system. Hello? And I ain't punched a time clock in years. I don't know what I'd do. I just couldn't imagine it. Hello? Well, am I saying you can't have a job? No. I'm saying you can't let the job have you. You see? Can't let the job have you. One time I was with this preacher and he come over and we went out and had lunch. Very humble man of God. I really enjoyed being with him, you know. He'd dig roots and he'd sell them roots. And this time he was tearing down a house for the lumber. And I really admired that man because he could take time off to witness to somebody. He took time off to preach a funeral after I was talking with him. Went home, cleaned up, put clothing, went to preach a funeral. He wasn't bound by religious system. Wasn't bound by the economic system of this world. Now, I know this is what I'm getting ready to say might be tight, but it's still right. If you're dependent upon a check today, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You better be dependent on Jesus. He can send that check, but if he don't allow that check to get sent. Hello? Or if the devil steal that check. I know this brother, and he went less than 50 feet from the post office to his car and disappeared, $429 check. Remember the scripture talks about they put their money in a bag with holes in it. That's what happened to him. Well, glory to God forevermore. This is getting good. You know, Satan uses brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm appalled at the number of people that do not know conviction of the Holy Ghost from condemnation. I had this one brother, and I'm up there painting his house, right? Just spraying away, just having a good time. Broke out in tongues 25 feet up in the air. And the Holy Ghost said he has a problem with love of money. He can't let go of money. He can tell you how much he spent for the last 6 years. Tell you how much everything in his house cost. Has a problem with the love of money. I said, okay, Lord, you know me. I'm obedient. Make time and I'll make the word come alive. I'm sitting there eating a T-bone steak in his house right now. See? For lunch. And it came up. How come I left such and such a house? I said, well, the Lord showed me that I had a love for money and that I wouldn't financially help them because I didn't agree with what they was doing. And that was all right. Because the emphasis was on me. And then I said, the Lord showed me you got the same problem. And then it wasn't all right. The lunch soured in his stomach. And he accused me of condemning him. But I'm not condemning you. I thought he'd be glad to hear he's got a bondage he can be free from. But it ain't that way. Brother Terry and I were talking last night. You think people would be glad that you're doing them a favor when you share something that you see in their life. But no, on the other hand, they say, no, no. They've taken that crutch, they've held on to that thing, and it's a very part of their life, and they don't even know it's not their own personality, nor is it God's, but it's a crutch that they've held on to. Hello? Now, there's nobody here like that, I'm sure. I won't look if you raise your hands. Now, I really don't use the NIV, but this time I will. Isaiah 31:1 in the NIV says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Now, woe, I found out, means bad news ahead. Like a horse, you know, woe means bad news ahead. And 2 Kings 18:21, virtually the same thing, only a little bit stronger. It says, "Now behold, thou trustest, King James, upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust him." That didn't say almost all. Lean on Egypt is like a reed going through their hand. Did you ever notice the outbreak of carpal tunnel, wrist and hand problems in the last few years? Well, just food for thought. It may be that they're trusting in the wrong source. It may be that they're leaning too much on Egypt. Glory. And God wants them to repent. It may not have anything to do with what angle their hands are when they're using the computer, but in fact, it may be the fact that they are relying on Pharaoh. I didn't know Pharaoh was still up. I didn't know either. But I began to study, began to find out. Look, it's the same system. Back then it's natural, now it's spiritual. We have the mark of the beast. I'm not a great revelatory. I'm like Bob Buse. I couldn't care less on a lot of it. But just assuming that six is the number of man, and assuming that the 666, it could mean this world's political system, this world's economic system, and this world's religious system. And it could be that. Now, if it is, then we don't want any part of it. And we've got to reach the point where Paul said he was crucified. He didn't want any part of the world, and the world didn't want anything to do with him. Hello? Not because he was weird or anything. Hello? It's just that he preached another gospel. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Moses stood up there and his bony finger and pointed at Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." No, he didn't. Moses didn't speak much, remember? He let Aaron do it. Isn't it easy how we just believe those phrases without even thinking about it? Charismaniacs are full of them. Hello? Yes? Hello? Pentecostals are overloaded, though. Hello? I'd be saying, the cow jumped over the moon. Somebody's going to say amen to it. Because they're so caught up in the frenzy of being preached to or something. Or, I don't know what it is, but yeah, amen! Amen, brother. You ever notice those people out in the congregation that say amen at the wrong time all the time? They're up in la la land. Woo! Woo! Not paying no attention. Not paying no attention to what's going on. Well, glory to God. The truth of the matter is, we're so busy with our schedules, there's no time to seek God at all. But if we would stop, just stop. Sabbatical, they call it. Shut in with God, bind together, pray, we would literally shut the devil down. He uses a method called gradualism. King James says, the little foxes spoil the vine. It's just little bitty things. You know, and they just add up. You know, we compromise over this. Okay, well, we'll let a Christmas tree in the house. The kids like it. Oh, well, we'll do this. That's, you know, the kids. Well, we'll watch this on the TV. It's only MTV. It's not so bad. And we compromise this, that, and the other, and we wonder, hallelujah, when we get up like Samson, the Spirit of God's not on us no more. That anointing is not there. It's easy because he's been compromising with Delilah. And his eyes are on their way out, hello, that he might see spiritual things. He's being blinded by this world. The reality is that Jezebel, somewhere around the corner, seducing him, pulling him away, and Apollyon is next in line to destroy him. Hello? Propensity. Lord, give me that word one time. I said, sir, I didn't know what it meant, so I looked up the dictionary, and it says a natural inclination or tendency. And I thought about the blood versus the spirit. You know, our blood, whatever it is, our blood links, our relatives, that blood tie is sometimes a whole lot stronger than the Holy Ghost. I ran across a brother from South Africa, and he just blessed my heart. He was mad when he told about it, but he blessed my heart. He told me about there was a minister come to his dad's church from Denmark or somewhere. And he was needing some money, and his dad gave the money to the missionary instead of him. I thought, man, I never heard that before. That sounds really good. He given to the by and to the Spirit rather than to his own natural flesh, his only, you know, his flesh and blood, his kin. Well, I better shut up. I'll just step on some toes. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we've got to be willing and to be led by the Spirit of God and sometimes tell our kids, no! Grandkids, no! Any of you got that deliverance manual by Gene Moody? Pick it up. Read that little story in there. There's a little story that tells about if you get a kid everything he wants, give him everything he wants, you'll make a thief out of him. Hello? It's good to say no. It's good to say no. You know, the funny thing about the, we all say we wouldn't do that, but the children of Israel, when Moses was up there and God was just ministering to him, blessing him, all that stuff, and they're down there making a golden calf. But you know, the funny part was, they already had that in their heart before he went up there. And if God delays his coming or God delays his answer to us, we're liable to do the same thing. We're liable to come up with these other things. Hello? Turn with me to Isaiah 50, would you? Isaiah 50. If you don't believe it, we'll show it to you. Isaiah 50 verse 10 and 11. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, and walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. What's that mean? Well, let's go back to the first part. It says you walketh in darkness. Well, child of God doesn't walk in darkness. But sometimes they're required by God to walk and not know what's going to happen. Hello? And God might not tell him what's lying ahead. He's just saying, go. He's just saying, step out. I want you to do this. And we don't know, and God forbid that we start reasoning and mess it up. But we don't know, and so that's not exactly a gross darkness type of thing, but we just simply don't know where we're going. And so we invent things. We get this own fire. This own sparks are going. We get our own schemes into it. We get our own things to support our unbelief. Hello, somebody. To support what we think that God's going to do, we come up with these reasonings and, well, we got to do this. When we get way down there on tangent, we've missed God altogether. Hello, somebody. God says, you will have this from me. He said, I'm going to give you this. You shall lie down in sorrow. We used to know this sister from a missionary from China, and she says, you got any Ishmaels in your life? How many Ishmaels you got? You start to do something, did you pray about that? I mean, that was good training for me. It was like being in boot camp. Because you better pray before you get out the door. Because you out there in the flesh, anything can happen to you. Hello? And I'm not propagating fear or anything. I'm just saying, pray. Be obedient. Do what God wants you to do. Walk where He wants you to do. Hallelujah. What was Pharaoh's spirit? Romans, the 8th chapter and the 15th verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I don't know if some of you remember this last summer, July 4th camp meeting. Well, in the latter part of June, I had a problem with my foot, and it swelled way up. Well, the problem really wasn't a foot. The problem was, I had confidence in an unfaithful man. He said he was going to do this, this, and this. And then he backed out on it. The Bible says in Proverbs 25 and 19, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Wow! I said, God, how come I got hurt so much? Learn all these lessons. I'm sitting back here. I have my foot propped up. This brother come back and pray for me. He squeezed on that. God, what's the matter with this guy? He don't have any discernment. Man, he just set me in the orbit. It was kind of quieted down from throbbing, but now it's gone manifest again. Did I eat too much bologna? No. Had confidence in an unfaithful man. Well, Pharaoh is like an unfaithful man. Hello? Some of you say, my husband's an unfaithful man. Well, not, let's not get into that. My wife is, no, let's not. My father, no. Let's get into the fact that we can do away with that. We can do away. We can get a fresh start. We can be set free from the bondage, the spirit of bondage and the spirit of fear, that we will not be caught up, but be separated from this world system. Hello? You know, every day, we talked a while ago, natural and spiritual, natural and spiritual. Every day when them Egyptians got up, when them Israelis got up, there was something out there to eat called manna. And they tell me it had all the nutrients in it. But I liked it with honey. I like bagels with cream cheese too, but you know, it was good. It had everything it needed. And the water, they just simply speak to the rock and the water would come out. And Moses got mad, messed up, and hit it a couple times, but you're supposed to do it once. The Bible tells that Jesus was smitten of God. Doesn't say smitten. Jesus was that rock. Guess what? Jesus is still that rock. He's still following us. Hello? And he's not a counterfeiter. Ulrich? Say it. Amen, somebody. He don't have to rain man out of heaven. If he wants to, he can. But the fact is, our dependence has to be on him. Not on a system. Not on a political system, an economic system, or a religious system in this world. And I kind of got it figured out. Just kind of. The religious system, I got that figured out. Just stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Hello? If it says religion, run from it. Or tell it to run from you. It's a demon. Hello? And the economic system, I got that figured out too. I just trust in God for my provisions every day. And the political system, this was back in June. I had it figured out too. I said, just impeach Hillary. But, you know, that might not be so far from the truth now. Hallelujah. I didn't know all that was going on. You know, well, I did know what was going on. Because I was in my former pastor's house that come help me one time up here at the Richards house, put a subfloor in, redo the plumbing and stuff. And I was supposed to house sit for him, and he lives in a little farm way out in nowhere land. And his sister says, oh, that'd be good time for you alone. God can reveal something to you. And I thought, well, that'd be good. I'll pray like that. Just duh. So I said, okay, Lord, reveal something to me. And I had a dream. And this is the dream. And this was about 2 years ago. This was a dream. In that dream was William Clinton. And I was his bodyguard. And we was walking along, and I was showing him my house. You know, just a little old dinky thing. I just trying to amuse him, you know. He was just a bored stiff. Some people get bored stiff around me, you know. No problem. I understand. So anyway, I was showing him the house, this, that, and the other, one room. I showed him some pictures back here. And this is what I said to him. I said, you want to go somewhere, do something? This is his response. I don't know. I'd have to ask Hillary. And that showed me a Jezebel spirit. See? Submitted to Hillary. So I said, okay. Well, let's go outside, you know, because she wasn't around, just me and him. So we stepped outside, and the scenery changed. It was like an old frontier-type town, something like Gunsmoke, and had this wood stuff out here, you know, and there was a saloon there. And I don't know why, but I thought, I'll go through the saloon. And I opened the doors, and it was like I was in a mansion. You know, the knotty pine tongue and groove, and they put a lot of shellac on the walls. It just looked like something would be in the White House. I mean, you know, instead of this misplaced town. And so there was a pulpit set up to the corner off to one side, you know. And I said, well, look at this, you know. And he was over there looking at the Bible, you know. There was a Bible sitting there and had some notes on it. He was just kind of looking at them like this, you know. And there was a bunch of army boys come down through there. And I said, hey, guys, you want to meet somebody? Yeah. Come on in. You're commander-in-chief. Wow. I can do it. Just sit down, you know. We have church now. The boss is here, you know. And so, all right. And the one thing I forgot to tell you, there was little bald spots in his hair. His hair was gray at that time. And just little bald spots here and there. Well, it didn't register right away, but the only time that I can remember bald spots was in the whores of Israel, the girls that started whoring around, and so it was sexual sins the Lord was revealing 2 years ago. I said, okay. And so I said, all right. And then there was this, so I was just guarding the door, you know, and he was in there, looked like he was going to preach or something, and I says, there's a bunch of townsfolk, and they wanted to come in. I said, Mr. President, there's a bunch of people want to come in. You want to let them in, you know? Yeah, okay, go ahead. I opened them up. I said, all right, come on in. And the first lady that walked through was had a beautiful spring, yellow and white polka dot type dress on, just beautiful. She just come bouncing in, sit down. All the townspeople come in, sit down, filled it up, and the end of the dream. Well, it had two purposes to the dream. First, it revealed what was naturally going on. And second, it revealed some spiritual things, too. 2 weeks later in our church, a sister come in with this yellow and white polka dot dress and sit herself down and became a part of that body. And right now, the church closed a couple years ago, so I guess maybe 3 years ago the dream was. That body closed down, and right now, today's last Saturday, she is runs one of the food pantries for us. She's been a strong arm in the church, and she's my operations food manager in the food pantry. And the same kind of applied in a spiritual level also. Bill Clinton, in the dream, was my pastor in reality. And there was some sexual things that came down in the house, none of which he had anything to do with. But there was some molestation that took place by a nephew. And had I probably just prayed on through, you know, it might have been averted, I don't know. But also the part was interesting that he couldn't leave without checking with his wife. And that same Jezebel spirit is there. And I confronted her with it. I prayed about it for a week or so. And I said, well, this is a dream I had. And she looked at me and says, you think I got Jezebel's spirit? I said, yeah, I know you do. Well, hallelujah. Anyway, what have we got? Do we have a bondage to this world system? Or do we have a total dependence on Jesus for all of our needs when we wake up this morning, when we go to bed at night? Some of us are moving so much in the realm of faith. There's a lot of transitions going on in the body of Christ. A lot of stirring winds and stuff. I've been praying for tornadoes. Hallelujah. I've already seen fire and I'm praying for tornadoes. God will just begin to uproot and begin to plant and begin to replace and to put over. And God's got people in number two and three positions all over the body of Christ to take over when their pastors fail. Hello? To take over when the church fails because of the religious system that it's in. And God is still going to have a body of people. God is still going to have a church that's triumphant. And guess what? You're in it. You're a part of it. You're accepted in the beloved. So don't keep thinking you're a bunch of misfits. Oh, square peg in a round hole. You're somebody special to God. Somebody that God needs. Hello? Somebody that God loves. And He don't love you because He needs you. He doesn't. He loves you anyway. So the question is, what about Pharaoh? Let's get him out. Get him out of our lives. Not be afraid. Hello? You know why a Jezebel spirit can even work in a man or woman? Because it's fueled by fear. Fear of losing something, or, you know, fear of failing or some sort. And they want to control the other person. Hello? Question is, deep in our hearts, have we ever tried to control anybody? Are we still doing it? Second question is there somebody controlling us? And are we going to allow it? I'd like to pray with y'all for just a minute, kind of a blanket prayer, and we'll see what God would do. Father, we thank You and we praise You and we give You all glory and honor. Amen. And hallelujah, You're lifted up and we're lifted up with You in the heavenly places, far above every principality, every power of wickedness in high places, every spiritual dominion and ruling spirit. We're looking down upon the enemy of our souls right now in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that You take the Egypt out of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That You break the curse of Pharaoh and let God's people go. In the name of Jesus. We command prison doors to be broken in the name of Jesus and the curse of a stupor off of God's people that they'd be set free from fear right now in Jesus' name and realize the adoption of adopting into the family of God that's already been provided and would not be part of this world system. We break Pharaoh's curse and we command Pharaoh and his spirits to come out bound by the roots right now in the name of Jesus. Let God's people go. Everything to do with Pharaoh, that dependence upon a check rather than independence from this world system, we break your power in the name of Jesus. We curse you at your roots and we command you to get up and to get out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would search our hearts and put in us the identity of Jesus Christ, that we would realize that we're more than a conqueror through Christ that saved us, and we're not having to be dependent upon anybody because you are El Shaddai to us. You're more than sufficient. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're more than enough. You are our provider, and we come to realization of that. Father, we pray that feeble-heartedness would be broken from our lives and we would become the militant children of God that you had required of us. God, that we would rise up into the stature and we cover around the spirit of every boy, girl, man, and woman in this place in the name of Jesus. We cover with the blood around their spirit and we command them to step forth now in the image that Christ has created in the name of Jesus. Go with God. Hallelujah. Go in the things of God. Hallelujah. Rise in the place of God. Rise from obscurity. Glory to the Lamb of God. Rise from fear. Rise from the spirit of bondage. Hallelujah. Be all that God says for you to be. Hallelujah. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we pray for a smooth transition. Hallelujah. From out of this economic system, out of this political system, and out of this religious system, into the system that you have, God, into the inheritance that you have for each of us, into the kingdom that you want us to dwell, rule, and reign in. We are to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Father, we ask that you would move upon us with the desires, Brother Bob had spoken last night, to be a king and a priest, to take over that mantle, to take up that position, and be what God has required or called us to be. And we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we receive the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. And we receive that light as a guiding light in our life this morning. We receive it as a victorious light. We receive it as more than enough. And Father, we ask you to forgive us, Lord, of all the Ishmaels we've ever made, Lord God. All the concoctions of our flesh. All the products of our own ingenuity. God, in the name of Jesus, all the sparks that we've kindled of our own, God. We ask you to forgive us, Lord Jesus, and deliver us from the sorrow of that, even right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask also that you would clear our minds from the thinking as the world thinks, God. Hallelujah. Clear our souls from that dependence on the things that the world has to offer. God, we thank you that we will accept humility in the name of Jesus. We will be humble, and we will be a people that will receive what you've given us. Even if you cause the ravens to feed us, we will say, thank you, Lord. It is enough. Hallelujah. We will be glorified because of the hope of glory that's in us. That glory will rest upon us also. And God, we give you glory for making us the people that you require us to be, that you want us to be, that you have for us that kingdom, Lord God. And we just receive it right now in the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. All that revelation did not catch on about an Ahab spear. Yep. Yeah, I know I had one. Hello? And I also had a Jezebel spear at one time. Oh, no, that's for women. Sorry. Sorry, Charlie. Demons don't know gender. Hello? Hello? An Ahab spirit hates a Jezebel. But he's not such a coward that he won't stand up and be a man. Hello? It's time that everybody would examine, hello, themselves and say, well, is that thing working in me? Am I a man or a mouse? Am I a wimp or if I'm a soldier? Hello? Hello? I mean, it's nothing to put yourself down upon. It's just, you know, if you had a Jezebel mother, hello, guess what? She raised Jezebel children. And she also raised Ahab children. Hello? If you have a desire, if you're a man and you desire for a woman that is strong and ruling and stuff, you got a problem. Hello? You're an Ahab. Hello? You need to get rid of it. Glory. Because it's bondage. It's not you. Hello? It's not your father. It's not your grandfather. It's a demon. Hallelujah. This is plain and simple. And I know since I told you that you're overjoyed and you're really wanting to get delivered, stay tuned. Hallelujah. There's more to come. God bless you all. Thank you. I was assistant pastor in a little mission. And the people would come in and we'd set a little old bowl of rice. It's almost embarrassing to hand it to them or whatever we had. And then we'd administer to them as they... And they would go away, and you know they were starved to death, and they did half of that's all they eat. Because they received the spiritual food, they didn't eat as much naturally. Isn't that a great revelation for fat people? Well, glory! Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we're grateful for this opportunity of fellowship and breaking of bread together, and we ask your blessing upon the food and nourishment of our body. Continue to strengthen us. Be with Richard and help in the kitchen, Lord, and you can send some more help and be all right. To take some of the load off, God, and we give you glory and praise, and we receive the nutrients into our body, and we break any and every curse back to the very impartation of this food in the name of Jesus, and we receive it with joy and gladness, and we give you glory and praise and thank you and ask your blessing on our fellowship in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Enjoy. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.